Turn back to the Gospel of John. I thought of that, I was thinking of that song here. He hideth my soul. Listen to this. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. A blind woman wrote that. I thought, you read these words, and she was blind. But yet she had the best sight. She had the best sight. She could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking as we were singing that, she's not blind now. She's not blind now. All those infirmities that come to us by sin are laid aside. Perfect health, perfect body, perfect sight. Now, what God can do, He can take a situation, a bad situation, and make it a glorious one. Now, here in John chapter 3, the title of the message, All Things Given to Christ. I was going to bring this last Thursday night, but I didn't make it as far in the message last Sunday as I thought I would, so I'm bringing it this morning. But all things have been given into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. A.W. Pink made this observation. He gives this contrast between John and Christ. And he shows how that John gave a full witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in John's testimony of Christ, John could only receive what was given to him. But all things were given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the appointed, anointed Savior. John's the forerunner. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. John said he's just a friend of the bridegroom. John said he must increase and I must decrease. John says that he is from above, talking to his disciples, pointing to him. He's from above, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm of the earth. I didn't come from above. I came from parents. I'm of this earth. And then John said he has the Spirit without measure. John had the Spirit by measure, as we all who preach do. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son from heaven, and John just a servant, a voice. He made a full witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and never took any credit, any way, shape, or form to himself. And he says in verse 31 to his disciples, He that cometh from heaven is above all. He's telling them that this one, that they say that all men are coming to him and he's baptizing, they were jealous. He's saying to them, he's from heaven. This is no ordinary man. This is no ordinary person. He's from heaven. That being so, he is above all in place. From heaven. The presence of God. God has come into this world. Saying that He is from heaven, that means He's above all in the dignity of His person. The Son of God. That's why it is said in Hebrews that all the angels of God worship Him. If He were not God, it would be idolatry and evil to worship Jesus Christ. He's above all as the Son of God. He's above the angels. He's above all the prophets. He's above Moses. He's above John the Baptist. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? There was the Lord, Moses, and Elijah. You know what the disciples that were there, you know what they wanted to do? Make a tabernacle for all three of them. Putting them on all equal footing. They were going to worship, you know, Moses and Elijah and Christ all the same. And then The Lord opened their eyes and they saw Jesus only. They saw Him only. Him only shalt thou worship. Only. And then saying He's from heaven shows His eternal existence. He has no beginning of days nor end of life. This is the Son of God. And then being from heaven, it shows His character. Holy. This is the Holy One. This is the Holy One of Israel. How many times is that said in the Scriptures? And especially in the Gospels. The Holy One of Israel. He knew no sin. He's from heaven. Jesus Christ is from heaven. And He that's of the earth is earthly. And speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. You know, John's not speaking of being worldly when he says he that's of the earth is earthly. He's not speaking about being worldly. He's just saying He's from earth. He's not been in heaven. John is saying, I didn't come from heaven. I'm earthly. I'm earthly. My parents were earthly. This man's not earthly. Nothing of this earth entered into his birth. Nothing of the nature of Adam entered into his birth. He's from above. He's from above. When he says earthly, he's talking about that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know, Adam was created from the dust of the ground. Adam rebelled. And by him sin entered the world. And now we are sinful, fragile. We're so fragile. We're like a tender plant. You just step on it and crush it. If it were not God protecting us, you could just step on us and crush us. We're fragile. Limited in knowledge. Boy, all you got to do is just watch a scientific program. You realize how limited in knowledge we are. Man just scratches the surface. Just the surface. You know, one person was telling me that when they were in college, they were, you know, in their math class, that sometimes a person will just break off in just the one area of math, one problem of math. And then when they start to solve that problem, then the whole other door opens up to it. We're so limited in knowledge. We're subject to infirmities. I guarantee you, every person in this room right now has an infirmity in one way or another. One way or another, you have an infirmity. That's us, earthly. That's earthly. That explains us. Now, except someone comes from heaven and gives us understanding of that place and of God who dwells in heaven, we will never know. We will never know God. We will never have a right understanding of heaven. You know, Hollywood can make the best horror movies, can't they? I mean, they can make the best. You know why? Because that's them. We know what that is. We know what evil is. We know what sin is. But when they make one of heaven, what do they make? Somebody floating on a cloud? Playing a harp? That's about the extent of it. They literally don't make movies that of anything that of heaven. They don't know it, but you got all kind of good horror movies out there. Chainsaw Massacres and all these movies. Because that's us. That's us. Now, unless someone comes from heaven, we will never know about God in heaven. We will never have a right conception of it. So this one who's come from heaven, he came there. Listen, in verse 32. And what he has seen and heard, this one who has come from heaven, what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. That's his message. Are you interested? Are you interested in knowing about God who created all things? Are you interested in knowing the character of God? What's He like? What's His Son like? Are you interested in knowing those things that are eternal? Are you interested in knowing that which about the unseen world? Well, there's one who has come and given us a testimony about it. He has come. In verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that's what he testifies. That's his message. He that is from above speaks of heavenly things. You see, you remember when Paul went to the third heaven, he came back and he said, I saw things unlawful to utter, impossible. We don't have the vocabulary to comprehend or to put into words what I saw. I can't. Well, you know, when you read the book of Revelation, you read about things that are we can relate to. Beast and four-footed this, and we can't comprehend the true revelation of heaven. But there's one who's come from heaven, who's from that place, and revealed them to us. Revealed the truth to us about God, about that place. He reveals the Father who's in heaven. It says in Luke 10:22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. As I just read, all things are given to Him and put into His hand. And no man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. You and I have no idea who the Father is. We don't know who He is, what He's like, until the Son reveals Him. Until the Son makes us to know that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is love. God is merciful. You didn't learn that from nature. You learned that from the Son of God, who came from heaven and revealed the Father to us, made Him known to us. Our Lord came into this world and He spoke and He speaks. He's still speaking. The truth concerning God, the truth concerning us. You know, when you read the Bible, it doesn't give any glowing terms in any way, shape, or form to human nature, does it? You won't read that in the Word of God. That's why it's so unpopular. But He gives the truth about God, about us, about Himself, and about what He came to do. He came to redeem. He came to save sinners. That's what He came to do. And He's going to save them. Those whom He redeemed, He's going to save. And here's what's said, and no man receiveth His testimony. No man naturally receives the testimony of Christ. No man receives, here's His testimony, the whole Word of God. Here's the testimony. And no man naturally receives it. Unless God saves you, unless God saves me, we will not receive the gospel. Receive anything else. Christ said, let another come in His name, and him you'll receive. But a natural man will not receive the message of grace. He won't do it. It's unnatural to him. What's natural to natural man is to earn. It's to earn. Earn your way to heaven, earn favor with God. That's the natural man's thinking. That, you know, salvation is the only thing that natural man does not want free. Everything else free. Give me a house, woohoo! I like that. Win the lottery. Give me a new car. But give me salvation free. No, I'll work for that one. That's the only thing natural man does not want free. Everything else he wants free. Everything else. But salvation is a free gift of God through Jesus Christ. And you can't work in any way, shape, or form to earn that. That's the free grace of God. But now listen, all is not lost. There in verse 33, some will receive His testimony. Some will. He that hath received His testimony has set to his seal that God is true. There were not many who followed Him, but there were some. There were some. And you know why the Son followed Him? He said, come, follow me. And they did. When He sent forth His word in power, they jumped out of the boat and followed Him. Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customs, got up and left. All that right there. I mean, he didn't say, well, wait a minute, let me... No, he just got up and followed him. You see, that one man said, Lord, I'll follow you wheresoever you go, but let me go home and bury my dead, my father. Let me go home and bury my father. And the Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. Now, following Christ is not something you do later. It's not something you do at your convenience. It's something you do when He says, follow me. He says, follow me. And when He sends that word forth in power, you follow Christ and leave all. Leave all. And the man or woman who has received his testimony has set to his seal. You know what that word means? It means to certify and ratify that this is the Christ. This is the promised seed. And all the promises of God are fulfilled in Him. Salvation is fulfilled in Him. Redemption is fulfilled in Him. Righteousness that God demands is fulfilled in Him. He's the end of the law for righteousness. I believe that. You believe that? Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The law can demand no more of me than Jesus Christ. And if I have Him, the law cannot demand any more of me because He supplies everything I need. Everything I need. And every person in this room that believes, you have certified and ratified that Jesus is the Christ. I believe God. He is it. I stake everything, lock, stock, and barrel on that man, Jesus Christ. When I stand before God, my hope is not that I accepted Him and as my Savior, but my hope is that God has accepted me in Him as my Lord and Savior. And I believe He has because of the interest that I have in Christ. I have a real interest. Some of you have a real interest in Jesus Christ. You have a real interest in knowing Him. You have a real interest in being saved by Him. You have a real interest in being saved from your sins. You have a real interest. And the reason why is God has saved you. God has saved you. For He, verse 34, for He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. Every word that came out of His mouth, every word was a word coming from God. You know that? He didn't have, there was no idle talk with Him. Every word He spoke was a word coming from God. Because He's the Word of God. Every word coming from Him. For God, it says, giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him. You know, it says in Colossians 2:9, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in Him. But the whole fullness of the God, all that God is. You know, the heavens, it says, the heavens. The heavens, the heaven of heavens, it says, cannot contain God. But you know God is contained in that man, Jesus Christ. All that God is contained in that man. All that He is. Heaven of heavens can't contain Him. Yet, in that one man, He's contained. The fullness of God dwells in Him. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. That is, we preach in part. But now listen, our Lord did not do that. Our Lord did not know in part. And He did not preach in part. He knew perfectly. His knowledge was perfect. As God, He knows all things. And when He preached perfectly. Perfectly. He didn't get names mixed up like I do. You know, He didn't get sidetracked. He didn't lose His place. When He spoke the Word of God and He spoke it perfectly. The Lord Jesus Christ knew the full truth. And the reason He knew the full truth is because He is the truth. That's the truth. He is the truth. Now that being so, this tells us We need to listen to Him. We need to listen to Him. You know, I've read you His Word this morning. That's Him speaking. That's God speaking through His Word. Need to listen to Him. But not only listen to Him, but believe Him. Receive Him. Bow to Him. Bow to His Word. Listen to Matthew 17:5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." You know, one day, listen, one day He will speak no more. One day He will speak no more. But while it today is the day of salvation, the word goes out, hear ye Him. Listen to Him, obey Him. And then verse 35 tells us whom the Father loves. I was driving somewhere here last week and I saw a sign out on a church bulletin board. It said, God loves you. God loves you. Well, here in verse 35, it tells us who God loves. You know, we have in the Word of God whom the Lord loves. The Father loveth the Son. This is the foundation for our faith. The Father loveth the Son and has given everything into His hand. The Father loves Him. God has laid help upon one that's mighty, and it's the one that He loves. The Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you someone else. I know who else the Lord loves. In Psalm 146:8, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord loveth the righteous. When we read of the love of God, we read of God loving His Son, God loving the righteous. He loved all those who are in His Son. You know what He says about the workers of iniquity? Now, I've never seen this written on a bulletin board. God hateth the workers of iniquity. God hateth the workers of iniquity. It says here, as we'll go on here, that those who believe have eternal life, and those who do not believe are under God's condemnation. It doesn't say they are under His love. You know where the love of God is? You know where it's expressed? In the ark. In the ark. It's not expressed outside the ark. I'm telling you, I'm being truthful with you. God's love has never been expressed outside the ark. It's in the ark. It's in Christ. You want to know the love of God? You want to experience the love of God? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because outside of Him is nothing but wrath. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now you're fooling a bunch of God-hating rebels when you go around telling them, say, God loves you. If you find a God-hating rebel, there's one thing I can tell them for sure. God's wrath abides on you. You need to flee to Christ. You need to flee to the Lamb of God. There's where the love of God is expressed. Right there. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. And he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Every person stands in faith or unbelief. One place or the other. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. Now let me give you a few things here and I'm going to close. Concerning all things given to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the only mediator between God and men, God the Father has turned everything over to His Son. Just like Pharaoh did to Joseph. He said, go to Joseph. Everything's been turned over to the Son of God. The whole of creation was turned over to Him. When you read in Genesis, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. That is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. That's Him speaking. How do I know that? Here's how I know that. Colossians 1:16. For by Him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. It wasn't created for me, it's for Him. It says in John 1:10, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And all principalities and powers were put under Him. All that He created, and all those principalities and powers are under His power. They are under His power. The whole spiritual realm was created by Him, for Him, and is under His power right now. Brethren, we have no concept of the power of Satan, of the power of darkness. We have no concept of that power. You remember when Moses put his rod down and it turned into a serpent? And those magicians put theirs down, it turned into a serpent too. Now the rod of Moses ate them up, but it still turned into a serpent. Satan has much power. Much power. Angels have much power. I forget over in Revelations that God sent an angel. Well, it's one place in the Old Testament. God sent an angel and slew 185,000 men. An angel. Oh my. But He's over all of them. Can you imagine what it'd be like if they were unchecked? I mean, you can't even imagine what it'd be like if humanity was unchecked. That all power, all earthly powers are under His power. Kings reign by His sovereign decree. I know it looks like Washington, D.C. is out of control. It looked like that for years. I mean, many years. But it's under His control. It's under His power. Kings reign by Him. Listen, Proverbs 8:15. By me, kings reign. And princes decree justice. He brings down a nation and raises up a nation. God does that. He said the nations are a drop in the bucket to me. That's how much power He has over them. And then listen, our Lord has power over all flesh. You know it says this over in, I want you to see this. Turn over to John 17. John 17. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. If He did not have power over all flesh, especially yours and mine, sinners wouldn't be saved. But He has all power to conquer anyone. He can conquer the hardest criminal out there. Or the hardest Pharisee out there. He has power over all flesh. That He should give eternal life to as many as the Father, He says, has given to Him. Our Lord has power over all flesh. The king's heart, it says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. And then listen, all the elect of God are placed in His hand and under His care as their surety. And He's responsible to bring them home, and He has all power to do whatever's needed to save them. Not just with His blood. He does that with His blood and His righteousness. We are eternally saved through the blood and righteousness of Christ. But He saves us daily. You made it here safe this morning, didn't you? I was 2 weeks ago, I was behind the two vehicles. I was right behind him, and that young boy just slammed into that woman's truck. He didn't see her lights on and flipped her, rolled her 3 times. That could have been me. That could have been me. He's given His angels charge over you. You have a spiritual military. You have a spiritual military watching over you. You don't even realize it. You realize the guards that are around your house at night and day. You realize when you go get there, get in the car to go home, that a band of angels is following you. You know when Peter knocked on the door and they were praying for Peter and he had been in prison and the angel came and let him loose and he's knocking on the door and they didn't believe it was him. They said, it's his angel. It's his angel. Oh, I'm talking to you about things that are very real. Very real. And all spiritual blessings come to us through Him. He has the power to give us all spiritual blessings. He said to His disciples, my peace I give to you. My peace. The peace of reconciliation that He accomplished between God and the sinner. He said, I give you my peace. Pardon. He has the power to pardon us. You know, He said the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. The forgiveness of sin, pardon, justification, righteousness, perseverance, that all comes to us through Him. All of it. And the power to give life is His. You know, He can speak life this morning to a dead sinner in here and you have life. It's not whether or not you make a decision at all. That has nothing to do with it. If He says live, like He did that baby and cast out into the field in Ezekiel, if He says live, you will live. And the evidence of that, you'll believe. You'll repent. And you'll say, Pastor, baptize me. I want to follow my Lord in baptism. I want to be identified with His people here at Bethel Baptist. That's the evidence of it. And listen, and the power to execute judgments given to Him. It says in John 5:27 that the Father hath given Him authority to execute judgment also because He's the Son of Man. That man who was crucified 2,000 years ago is the judge of all the earth. And everybody's going to stand before Him. Everybody. And in closing, God's preachers never preach a Christ who wants to save you if you'll let Him. No. We preach the risen, reigning monarch of heaven and earth. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess He's Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether they like it or not. It's either now or later. It's just a matter of when. It really is. Omnipotent power and universal sovereignty and reign belongs to Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read you these scriptures and we'll close. Revelation 19. If you want to follow along, you can turn over there. Revelation 19. I've got it written down here. So I'll just read it to you. But if you want to follow along, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Listen to this. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Not just one crown. You see, the Jews hung him on a cross. They had the Romans to hang him on a cross. And they had written over him, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. But when John saw him, he said he had many crowns. Many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. That's the Word of God, the Gospel. That with it, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Does that sound like somebody wants to do something? I don't think so. Here's what I say in closing. Psalm 212, kiss the Son. Right now. Right now. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. All right.